Hey, buddy.
Hi, buddy. Oh, man.
Gosh, we haven't been in studio in a while.
I know.
It feels really weird.
And we got a really exciting day ahead of us today.
I know.
We are recording three episodes.
Three episodes.
Three episodes.
We're out of practice.
Out of practice. And, guys, in the weeks to come, we have Mamrie Hart as an upcoming guest.
Uh-huh.
And we'll also be dealing with an episode about grief. But that's not today. Today is the opposite of that.
Yes.
Well, no.
But we did want to talk about things that bring us joy because our last episode was so depressing.
It was really depressing. And thank you, everybody, for listening to that episode and getting through it with us/me. Did I tell you that the event that I didn't pack for was a black tie event?
You did. And then, so what did you end up wearing?
Well, I went to Zara, got a bunch of stuff, then returned all of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I rented
just
the runway.
Imagine like everyone wearing like tuxedos and gowns, and then you're just like wearing a white shirt with like black pants.
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of just throw on a blazer, and then Ella really pulled it together. She always does. Oh, she's just so amazing. But okay, let's talk about things that bring us joy, because last week was really heavy and we needed that. But hey, for the next 3 weeks, I'll be on just the up and up until 4 weeks from now when the darkness returns. Hannigan, what's something that's bringing you joy lately?
Well, I already talked about this last week, but I want to continue to say that I'm still really enjoying season 4 of Sailor Moon. Also, I've started a secret project, which is no longer secret because I'm telling it right now to everyone. Okay, I had a really good therapy session this last Monday.
Love that.
And this is what's so great about therapy is you never know what's going to happen. Because I totally was going in like, why am I doing this? I don't deserve to talk to this person. What am I going to talk about? And then he fucking was like, you know, I think you should try reading 100 pages a day. And I was like, what? And I started doing it. And it's amazing.
I feel like I'm in the presence of a god. Honestly, like you read 100 pages, like pages like written down on paper, like pages.
I haven't done it yet today, but Monday through Friday, I read 100 pages a day. I've read 500 pages this past week. I finished two books.
What? What books?
Annihilation and Under the Skin.
Whoa.
Both very good.
Are they fictional?
They're kind of like sci-fi.
Ooh. See, yeah. I feel like if you're reading nonfiction, it's like you should do 50 pages a day. Because a lot of times it's like, what? Okay. I like nonfiction a lot. I don't read anymore. I'm going to start trying to read 100 pages a day.
You should do it too. Because he said he started doing it because, you know, with modern living and like social media and like you're fucking every second the news is refreshed and horrifying and just so much time leaks out of your day. Mm. And I have to say, I look forward to it. It's like the most fun part of my day. It feels like it's like you're watching TV. Except as if TV was like eating a vegetable. It's like you're doing something that's really enjoyable and it's good for you.
Oh my God. Kind of like if you get into the habit of exercising, you're like, man, I want to go exercise. And then you're like, wow. And I'm starting to really look good.
But this is like better than that because exercise is always hard and stupid. And reading is like, you could just sit down and do it. And then you get to be like, I'm so bookish. Like, it's so good for my little ego.
I love that. I love it. And you could turn, it's like, what a cool kink.
Right?
Oh, that's
good. I'm so excited to see. I mean, it's only been 5 days, but I'm excited to 500
see. 500 pages.
But 500 pages. I'm excited to see what happens because for so long, I've always been like, man, I wish I was a person who read books.
Man.
It's like, you can be. You just have to read. Also, I was always like, there's so many books and I'll just never read them all. But I'm like, yes, I can.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I don't think you can read them all.
Well, that's true.
But
I can read a lot of them.
Yeah.
And how could I ever be intimidated by anybody ever again?
Well, okay. Here's my question. I feel like if I started doing 100 pages a day and I got to like 70 and then like I felt good about like where I was at, like, does that even count?
I think so. I think that's great.
It's hard.
But let me tell you something else that is so interesting about this. You know how I give up on everything immediately?
Yeah.
I've been like, because the first 2 days I was like, well, I read 92. That's probably good. And then my brain was like, no, it's not.
8 more pages. Unnecessary stopping point.
Yes. I was like, no, I can do this. Why do you always think you can't do whatever it is? Yes, you can. You can push yourself to do this.
Yeah.
And that's like never happened before.
You mean you were like, I read 92 pages. That's fine.
No, I mean, I read 92 and then I was like, that's probably fine. And then I was like, no, it's not. I'm going to read 8 more.
But then what if there's like a natural pause in the book? Like 92 pages in. And then the next chapter is like 110 pages.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, that's a good point. That's a good point. See, and I think if you're reading it all, that's laudable.
That's
true. But for me right now, at least in the beginning, maybe, I'm like, no, it's got to be 100.
Wow. See, it's my perfectionism that makes it so hard to decide what is and is not enough. Which is why today on Analyze This, we're talking about perfectionism.
That's right. Even though I can talk about reading 100 pages for another
We still hour. Can. That is, it's all in the same wheelhouse.
Right.
You know, because like I'm saying, like I would get 70 pages in. And if I was like, that's good for me, I'd be like, wow, then you're not really doing it. But right, if the point is to read every day, mm-hmm. does it really matter if it's 100 or not?
Yeah, dude.
That's the stance I would have to like take if I was going to try and complete it. But before we do, I would like to tell you something that brings me joy.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
So, guys, this is going to sound real, real, real shallow, superficial. I feel like I'm having this like weird second adolescence right now where I'm just like, I want to play video games and like... You know what? I feel like I kind of like, I think as I like skipped being a teenager, I kind of feel like that right now. So here's something. Here are the things that are bringing me joy right now. And you know me. Normally I'm like, oh my God. Okay, guys, there's going to be intermittent, distracting. You guys probably can't hear it, but we can. And it's somebody drilling something. So every time I go, what the? That's what that is. Because it is just the oddest. It sounds like a fart.
It does. It sounds like a huge, like, Lord of the Rings monster is upstairs.
But, like, farting, but also trying to, like, kind of be subtle about it. You know what I mean? Because it's not, like, just, like, it's, like, ding. You know? So,
yeah, it's definitely in, like, F minor.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah. It has a certain tonal quality. Maybe it just sounds exactly like my farts, and so it's so familiar to me. Okay,
maybe Ella subtweeted about that.
Oh, Ella! Every time Ella subtweets me, I just say this is a subtweet, and I know it. So, in this like resurgence of skipped teenage dumb, here are the things that are bringing me joy right now. One, playing video games. Ooh, I love it. I'm actually cutting myself off, though, because I play too much, man. I play too much. And it's hard to have boundaries. So my new rule is that I'm going to put the PS4 in Ella's car so that when she goes to work, whoa, it's not there. And our home becomes my office.
That's great, dude. Yeah. By the way, I have a question. Okay. We always say, like, I've been playing games too much. But I feel like it's only because we have other responsibilities.
Yeah.
So... if we lived a life where we didn't have to go to work, or...
You mean, do I become a Twitch live stream gamer? Yes. That works for me.
Oh my God, dude. Dude, why have you not done that yet, actually?
Mainly because I don't know which computer to buy. I think it's very expensive. but I'm going to get on it. But if it becomes my career, that'll feel better. But yeah, anyway, so let me just get through my things that bring me joy.
Okay.
So yeah, but that's what I'm going to do with the PS4 right now is that I'm just going to put it in Ella's car while she's at work during the week. Because I was supposed to shoot like 3 videos this week and I did not. I mean, I did just get back in town on Thursday. Long story short, I had high hopes for Friday and I did nothing.
That's a lot. One day is not very much to shoot 3 videos, dude.
I know, man. But like, I can do it. And like, honestly, I haven't tried. I've gone 2 weeks out without posting a video. So I really got to do it. The PS4 can be a reward, not an escape. It's entertainment, not escape. Anyway, video games for your joy. 2, I bought some really cool sneakers. They're like,
oh, yeah, you posted about them.
I know. I went to the Nike store. Did you know that there was a whole store of just Nike?
I don't think there is Soho. One in San Diego.
Yeah, in Soho, New York. Went to the Nike store.
Was it like a whole block? Was it like the Macy's?
No, it was, but it was like multiple stories. It was big. Wow. It was Nike
Lab. Multiple stories.
Dude. Yeah.
Nike Lab? Is Nike that why people are like running upstairs?
I think that the people, I think that like also people work for the Nike Corporation above it. Anyway, I've never understood like people that like have, get like joy out of like material goods. But I bought a really cool pair of sneakers and I felt really good and excited about them, you know? So I got to get through my adolescence so I can go back to being an adult. But right now, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great, dude.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've decided in my advanced age that...
I can't believe that you traveled through time, became 50, and came back.
That's what I'm willing to
do. Like, I thought you would use the technology for good, but like also like total... Yeah. You just want to read more.
If anything, I just want to go into the future, get all the video games that I'm waiting for, and then come back and play them now. Mm.
Mainly just The Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. National holiday.
I'm a little upset. Okay. Because I'm planning a trip to Europe in next year, fall of next year. And I have to save pretty much all my vacation days for that trip. So wow. I'm like, but surely The Last of Us 2 is going to come out sometime in 2019. And I'm going to need to take like a week off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's totally valid. Or
maybe I should just get really sick again.
Or quit your job. Guys, share this podcast with your friends so Hannah Gelb can quit her job. Every time you tweet, retweet, recommend anything about this podcast, we get one step closer to Hannah working part-time even, maybe.
Oh my goodness, it's true.
I know. And he could bring so much to it. But speaking of bringing things to the podcast, I guess we should probably start the episode.
That's right. Although I do want to say it brings me a lot of joy, dude, every time that you tell me I can quit my job or I should quit my job.
I think you should quit your job. And speaking of that, let's talk about sponsors right now. Break time. Oh, hello, earbuds. Guess what time it is? It's advertising time, which means that it's also underwear time. So let's talk about our underpants. Guys, it's time to stop wearing underwear that doesn't make you feel confident. You should wear something that's comfortable, free-flowing, allows you to dance and sing to your heart's delight. What underwear makes me feel that way? Why, of course, it's Tomboy X. Tomboy X is all about underwear that's more frills than function. It's time to get rid of that old underwear your mom got you to femme you up a bit. Ooh, and if you're totally comfortable being femmed up a bit, then it's time to look super cute and sassy in bikini briefs, boxer briefs, trunks, and boy shorts, soft bras, razorback bras, anything, you name it. All of these marvelous options come in sizes extra small to 4X. So regardless of where you fall on the size or gender spectrum, Tomboy X offers amazing underwear that any body feels comfortable in. And you know what? It's true. It's just really true. In fact, Ella wears them all the time. So guys, go to tomboyx.com/hanalyze and check out their special bundles and dun-da-da-da, pack pricing. And Hanalyze's listeners get an extra 15% off with code HANALYZE. Again, the code is HANALYZE for an extra 15% off. So ditch whatever you're wearing for a pair of Tomboy X underwear. Go to tomboyx.com/hanalyze. And now, let's go back to the show. Hey, we're back from the break.
Wow, we've already done a break and we haven't talked about our subject at all.
Well, we have two breaks in this episode. Spoiler alert. So I just wanted to get that one there. Hannah Gelb, let's talk about perfectionism. We have dilly-dallied the F out of this
one. Yes, and let me tell you guys why. It's because, okay, well, we wanted to talk about perfectionism for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I found all this information about it and I put all the information in a binder. Yep. And then I was like, we can't do the episode. This is what I'm telling myself in my head. We can't do the episode until I've read all this information and synthesized it perfectly into an outline of a perfect episode. Then that didn't happen, obviously.
Right.
So now we're just here.
We're just going to start
it.
It's perfectionism part one. It even says module one. So talk about a little bit. So let me paint a picture for everybody listening. Before me, I have a little Gelby with a binder and a bunch of notes. I'll take a picture and we can later post it on the Twitter when the episode goes up. Hey, oh, look at your crazy notes, though. Oh, she's the cutest.
I know, they're so crazy. You know, I feel like I'm always make the same face.
Make it again. There it is. Great. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is very exciting because, as I mentioned previously, I think I feel like we talk about perfectionism a lot in like in casual conversations, but this is like the first like packet of information I've ever seen on it.
Where did you find this?
I don't know. I just Googled it, actually. Okay, wait.
I woke up and it appeared.
It's from the Center for Clinical Interventions. It's from an Australian website.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it has
I'm excited that there's an entire packet about dealing with perfectionism because it's really hard. Well, here, let's read the first thing on the first page.
Oh, wait, should I read earbud comments?
Earbud comments about perfectionism?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do that? Yeah, before we start the module?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Fine by me. Guys, we're going to hear from you first.
Yes. Well, see, the thing is, okay, wait. So a while ago, I tweeted, you know, do you guys experience perfectionism and what does it look like? And then everyone said a lot of interesting stuff. And then I put it in a Word document and then I was going to make it look nice and perfect. And then I failed to do that.
But you succeeded in putting it in a Word document.
I did put it in a Word document.
Okay. Let's hear the comments.
Okay.
Do I have the document too?
No, I failed to send it to you.
You didn't fail. You just kept it for yourself. Well, so, I think perfectionism is something that a lot of people deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. Clearly, because we got many responses. And some of them are really good. And some of them are really funny. No, they're all good. But some of them were like, whoa. Oh. One person said, yes, I blame society.
Is that the example of the whoa what? Would it be, you know, guys, I just have to tell you, my personal struggle right now is that I have a bag of salt and vinegar potato chips in front of me, but I can't think of anything worse to eat on a podcast than salt and vinegar potato chips. So I'm just going to
just go for it.
I'm just going to eat one
just
chip.
Just crunch the shit out of it.
Okay, guys. Sorry. Oh, man.
Okay, so
this is like ASMR.
This is very interesting. So I think I asked, where do you think your perfectionism comes from and how does it affect your life? Because it affects different areas of life differently. Mm. Although I think it affects every area of my life. Mm. Some people are like, well, like someone said, bear with me, everybody.
Okay. What should I do right now?
Oh, okay. So just eat those chips, man. Okay. So this person says, I mostly struggle in it, with perfectionism with work/creative projects. I know if I can do better, it's hard not to go back and fix it over and over. It's part of my anxiety and maybe also from my mom telling me as a kid, I know you can do better, even when I thought I was successful. Most Ouch. People I work with are perfectionists too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know you can do better, even when they thought they were successful.
But you know what's funny? I'm like a major perfectionist and my parents were always like, this is great. And I was like, no, it's not. And they were like, no, this is fine. Totally. You're great. You're fine. And I was like, no.
But
what is that about?
I don't know. Maybe the module will help us discover.
Maybe it will.
Did you print me out a copy?
Yes, dude. I sent it to you.
I know. It's on my, I have the PDF.
Okay. It's just tough because I only can print things when I'm at work. So I just haven't done it yet, but I'm gonna print it for you.
No, you're good. You don't need
to. And then I'm gonna FedEx it to you.
We are technically in a building that has a printer at this moment. Yeah. So I can print it out. Because the whole module, this is just part one, right?
This is just part one. There's many modules.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So this person says, I think my problems with perfectionism stem from my parents' extreme expectations of me throughout my childhood and my gender. The expectations for my brothers are nothing compared to what I have to meet.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
Whoa.
So I was thinking like, yeah.
Two for two, blaming mom and dad.
Mom and dad. Do you wanna find a good one? Sorry, it's so unorganized, but do you want to read one?
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
Okay. Bum, 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 bum. Ooh, what's this? We do make choices one. And they do have consequences. Is this your notes?
No. No, that is an earbud.
Oh, wow. I don't even know the context of this, but this is what it says. We do make choices and they do have consequences, but the idea that there's a correct one is only ever a story we tell ourselves. Choices can be well-reasoned or poorly reasoned. Their results can be surprisingly beneficial or surprisingly damaging. But there's no such thing as a categorically right course of action, just an array of possible ones. And for each, a sprawling web of consequences. Okay. Somebody tweeted you this?
No, I just remembered what that is. It's from a I've read. It's from my favorite blog, Raptitude. That is David Kane's writing.
Wow.
And I was like, this goes hand in hand with perfectionism because he has this whole post about there is no right decision. And I think that's what perfectionists struggle with all the time is there's some perfect way to do this. There's some perfect choice that will lead to the perfect whatever. And yeah.
There's only, I really like the, there are choices that are well-reasoned or poorly reasoned. And I feel like that concept provides a little freedom from perfectionism because, you know, I think that for me, the idea of something being perfect stems from like thinking, for me, I feel like the opposite of it is failure. And the higher your failure trigger is, like the idea that you failed or feeling like a failure, the more sensitive that trigger is, the more sensitive that button is, the more likely you are, quote unquote, to be a perfectionist, you know? Because I would rather have a perfect zero by not participating at all. Like if it gets too late in the day and I still haven't filmed a video yet, I give up. And I'm like, well, it's after five. I guess I can't film. That's not true.
Dude.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really eager to escape perfectionism. Like that would be... That would be great. Okay, guys. Wait. Okay, I'm going to read another earbud comment. I struggle with perfectionism. I struggle with speaking.
That's kind of hard to say.
Perfectionism? Yeah.
I've mucked it up a few times already. I just kept going.
I'm going to say perfectionism. I struggle. Okay. I struggle with perfectionism as a life, as like a life philosophy. You know what I'm gonna do? This 11 Calibri font is not working. Oh, 10.5. I'm moving this to 16 because I'm a blind person.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. There we go. I struggle with perfectionism as like a life philosophy. Life is a big if-then statement, a series of constant decisions. We're always making choices, and those choices will all have varying outcomes. And all of those outcomes, in my mind, can be ranked from best to worst. Like, there's an optimal choice for an optimal outcome. But that leaves me struggling with the weight of every decision I make, weighing potential outcomes, trying to get the best one. Something as simple as changing lanes on my way to work. Should I do it? Should I not? Ugh. I so relate to that. Like, you know when you change a lane and your lane slows down and you're like, I did this. They go on to say the need to achieve that perfect and best outcome for even the smallest of circumstances is exhausting. And then I feel crazy guilt when I feel like I could have made a better choice. Oh, God, they are so, this is so real.
I know.
You know,
so awful.
Perfectionism so silly. Like, oh, sorry. Like, sometimes when I start cutting a lime, I'll like be like, okay, I'm cutting a lime, and then I'll start cutting it badly, and I'm just like, well, I guess I'll just fucking cut it badly the whole time then. There's a bunch of chunks. Okay?
It is silly, but it's
ever-present.
Silly, but it's so hard also to hear that it's silly because it's so intense and a huge presence in our lives, you know?
I know.
So wait, Hanhart, like where does your failure trigger come from?
I don't know. Well, I want to do the module. Do you want to do this?
Yeah, no, we're doing it. I thought we could just be like, well, what, you know.
But like, I'm sure that it will guide us into questions about ourselves.
You're totally right.
Right? Like, it's a workbook kind of thing, right?
Should I give it to you?
No, do you want to read? Like, I just feel like we got it. And so are we going to do it or no?
Oh, no, of course we are.
Okay.
I just thought we were like still talking a little bit.
We are still talking. Okay. I'll answer your question.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that like, I'm just really excited about the module.
Oh, okay, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
I'm just excited.
Let's do the module.
I just am so excited for the idea that there is a way to overcome perfectionism.
Right.
And that there's a structure to it.
Yeah.
Because how do you overcome something like that?
I don't know, dude. See, this is probably my perfectionism because I'm like, wait, we have to like talk about all these things that I had in my brain before we can start the module, which is how my perfectionism works.
But you know? The module's meant to help because I feel like, and in my perfectionism's like, well, actually, it's not even perfectionism.
Our perfectionisms are like kind of having a Pokemon battle right now.
Dude, you're if your perfectionism was a Pokemon,
Jigglypuff.
Oh, that's so good. Mine's Pikachu because I'm like, ha ha ha. I'm like, yeah, everything is great. Now I'm covered in lightning.
Right. And I'm like,
you sing, you make people feel sleepy and safe.
And then I eat their souls.
You suck them right up.
That's not how Jigglypuff works.
Wasn't it weird? She dropped the... That's how much she doesn't want to do the module. She threw it on the ground.
I also have notes and I can't even read them.
Where were you when you found out Kirby was not a Pokemon?
I've always known Kirby's not a Pokemon.
I did not.
I played Kirby's Dream Land on SNES many a time.
SNES as in SNES, as in Super Nintendo Entertainment System?
Yes.
Wow.
But I can see why you would think that.
I thought Kirby and Jigglypuff were like fucking.
Did you know Kirby is named after a man whose last name is Kirby? Or no, wait. His first name is Kirby. What? It's an American dude.
What?
Yeah.
What? Are they saying Americans are full of hot air?
I mean, that could have... That could have been possible.
Oh, man.
We don't know, though.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's start with the introduction.
Love it. Read it to me.
Okay. Here's what it says. Perfectionism is often mistaken...
We should also probably link to the PDF.
Oh, we should.
Well,
yes.
On the Twitter. We'll make a note of that.
I hope it's not illegal that I'm just going to read from this. If it is, it's been really nice.
It's a resource. Australia is coming for you. I mean, you found it. It's not like you found it on the dark web.
That's true. I don't even know how to get to the dark web.
Can you clip your binder shut again? Yes. Hannah opened up her binder rings and just left them open.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
I felt so unsafe. I feel way better now. Thank you. Okay,
that's
here we
something
go.
Different. That's called OCD.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't joke about that. OCD is a serious thing.
Okay, guys, we aren't doctors, nor are
we're
we
not doctors.
Trigger warning, all of the entire podcast. I feel like if you sign up to listen to the podcast, there it is.
You're right.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
Introduction.
Here we go. Introduction.
I'm so tempted to keep interrupting you, but I have to stop. Okay, I'm done.
Well, wait, I'm going to say one more thing.
Yeah.
Which is, I have read part of this, and I was actually surprised. I was surprised at what it says because I was like, oh, that's what perfectionism is about. But for me, it doesn't feel like that's what it's about.
I can't wait to know what you're talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfectionism is often mistaken for being perfect or doing something perfectly. Many people assume that it must be a good thing. Other people think of being a perfectionist as being something negative and embarrassing. So is it good or bad?
Do you want to take turns reading? Or?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of words. I don't know how much.
Here, let me. Get here. We got this. We so got this. Okay, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Perfectionism involves putting pressure on ourselves to meet high standards, which then powerfully influence the way we think about ourselves. Researchers have shown that parts of perfectionism are helpful and parts are unhelpful. We're here to help you identify and work on the unhelpful parts so you get satisfaction from your achievements and lead a more fulfilling life. This will involve setting appropriate goals and standards for yourself, making it more likely that you will achieve those goals and experience a sense of fulfillment rather than feeling frustrated and blaming yourself all the time for not getting things perfect.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh my God. The modules in this pack are to help you put your perfectionism in perspective. Oh God, heal me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
seriously.
Fuck this book. Like, there's a big difference between healthy and helpful and unhelpful pursuits. That is so true. Wait, I that sentence isn't written here. I made that in my head by combining the whole sentence. But here's the whole sentence. There's a big difference between the healthy and helpful pursuit of excellence and the unhealthy and unhelpful striving for perfection. Interesting. Yeah. So in the beginning, you have to define something. Before you can explore anything, we have to come to like a common definition of what perfectionism means.
That's great, dude. Right. You can keep binder if you want.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, you're such a good leader, you know.
Aw, thanks, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
I feel like if I have it, I'm just going to like, we'll hear like 6 hours later and I'll be like, ah!
But Hannah, you found this resource.
I did find that resource.
Like you did that. I don't research shit. I'm like, if I didn't discover it, it doesn't count for me. You know? This is great. So let's come to a common definition of perfectionism.
Okay.
So for me, perfectionism, here's the thing. Got it.
Okay.
Here's my definition of why I want to control my perfectionism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to be able to do... Wow, this binder was making it up.
It's slippery.
Okay. I want to be able to start something, even if I'm not going to finish it, or I can't do all of it at the same time.
Oh my God, dude. That's why I can't start anything.
I know. Like, I could have definitely shot at least one video yesterday, but since I told myself you're going to do three, and I got the ingredients for three videos.
Which is like, dude, if I go grocery shopping, I'm like, I can't do anything else today. You want to do three videos in one day? That is so much work.
I know, dude. And I should have just at least done one and felt good about it. But the knowledge that my expectation was set to three and that I would be disappointed with myself, even after just completing one, stopped me from doing any. And that's why I want to control my pursuit of perfectionism or pursuit in perfectionism, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. What about you? What's perfectionism for you?
I think I have to be perfect to be loved.
Oh, whoa. It's a love thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because I keep going back to because it's like, what's so frustrating is...
I love you. Wait, I wish I had a sign that says you are perfect to me.
Aww.
I would freak out if somebody said that. I'd be like, no.
Oh, God.
Then you don't know me at all.
Right? Yeah. Be like, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
This is what's so frustrating. It's like, okay, later on, we shall see. There is a little quiz you can take and it asks you all these questions. And I'm like, I know all the right answers. I know all the answers to these questions are no, this is stupid and dumb, but it doesn't mean that I don't act that way.
Right.
So it's like when I try and follow it down to why do I do this? I think it's because I'm just like, I just want to be good. And if I'm good, people will love me. And it's like, hey, Hannah Gelb, you notice how a lot of people love you right now, exactly the way you are? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a dangerous word perfect is.
Right.
Word
and you know what perfect. I'm starting?
Oh, dude. Remember word perfect?
I think I last used word perfect in 1998. Is that the one
with the paperclip?
No, Microsoft Word still has the paperclip.
The paperclip that's what's up, motherfucker? He's like,
you're making a list. You want some help?
It's like, no, I'm just trying to make a list. Okay, well, wait. Let's read the module, the definition of perfectionism that we will be exploring in our perfectionism series, of which this is part one, and part two and three and whatever. It's all going to happen.
It's going to happen. There's 14 modules, you guys.
Fuck yeah. I am so here for
this. We're going to be making this podcast until 2020.
Yes. Oh, God. Please let the world get better in 2020. Friendly reminder to vote in the midterms. Okay, so the working definition we will be using for the intents and purposes of this module is the following. 1. The relentless striving for extremely high standards for yourself or others. 2. Judging your self-worth based largely on your ability to strive for and achieve such unrelenting standards. Ugh, so true.
Mm-hmm,
3. Mm-hmm. Experiencing negative consequences of setting such demanding standards, yet continuing to go for them despite the huge cost to you.
Oh my God, year after year after day, just being like, this will work. At some point, it'll start working the way I think it's going to work.
You're like, man, if I just keep setting myself up at 120% and then achieving none of it, one day I'll hit that 120 and it'll make up for all the zeros.
Dude.
As opposed to just having a moderate sense of accomplishment every day.
Right. And can I tell you something? This is my theory that I want to say right now because I'm afraid I'm going to forget to say it. I don't think there's a difference between, because in this book it says, I mean, it's healthy to have high, good standards. And I'm like, I don't think there's a difference between good standards and just doing something. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I do, and I wish I thought that way. Yeah,
you're right. It's like, if you're doing something, you probably care.
Yeah,
because they're like, well, of course we think the consequence of not doing a good job is because we'll just do it so poorly. And I'm like, who does shit really, really poorly? Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem to happen.
The consequence is the not doing.
The not doing. Doing it is all that fucking matters. Like, if you're doing it who cares if it's good or not? Like, oh, that's man. Where I want to get. Like, because I don't think people out there, like fucking Steve Jobs or whatever, people who are out there changing the world, they're not like, I'm so good. My standards are so high. It's not, they're just doing it because they really want to do it.
Yeah, they're just doing. I mean, this is exactly, here's a perfect example. I just feel so dangerous saying the word perfect.
Oh my God. Oh, I just got it.
Okay, here's an example. This is a great example. Yesterday, and you saw this happen this morning, our garbage disposal broke. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ella was like, oh no, you got to call a guy. I was like, I know how to fix it. I'll fix it. So yesterday, I was in the kitchen. There were dishes in the sink. Okay. Here's my perfectionism spiral. Me. Ooh, I'll fix the garbage disposal. Oh, there are dishes in the sink. I got to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Well, if I do that, I should probably clear the countertops. I should probably just clean the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to clean the kitchen. Therefore, I didn't fix the garbage disposal. And that I want to undo.
Dude.
You know?
Dude.
And then Ella came home, was like, damn it, it's still broken. Well, she wasn't mad. She actually just asked me right before we left for the podcast. But she was like, hey, I did the dishes. Can you fix the garbage disposal? And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, there are no dishes in the sink. Oh, okay. And then I fixed it. And then we left for this podcast. But yeah, that's the thing I want to unlink is like, mm-hmm. why did I stop myself from accomplishing the one thing I wanted to do because I set up a bigger thing? Because then it just goes like, oh, if because I'm going to do the kitchen.
It's the all or nothing.
It's all, or, all nothing. Or nothing. And then it just keeps growing. I'm like, well, if I'm going to clean the whole kitchen, I should probably just also do the laundry. Okay, so that means I need to clean the house. I got to clean the whole house.
I got to take a week off.
Yep.
The whole house needs to be clean. I'm going to clean under the floor. I'm going to clean behind the fridge.
But I can't clean the kitchen without reorganizing the spice cabinet yet because we have so many duplicate spices. So
I have to figure out all of my values in life before I can clean this kitchen because I don't know if I'm the kind of person who needs turmeric. Exactly.
It's so true.
I don't know how to, because I feel like if I could ever get past that and just did the one thing, I'd be like, you know, I'm glad that one thing happened, even if I didn't do the rest. Dude, that's exactly the same. I'm house sitting for my parents right now. The whole house looks like a crazy fucking shitstorm pigsty. And last night I was like, I really need to clean. And I was like, well, I can't, if I'm going to clean the kitchen, I got to clean the whole place.
Yep.
And I'm not like, if the counter, I got to clean the floor. And then I didn't do anything. And when I get home tomorrow, it's still going to be disgusting.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, hopefully this module has a plan about that.
Okay. What's it talking?
Okay. So it goes on. The next section talks about the benefits of being a perfectionist, which I'm sure there are many.
Are there, though?
I like to do things well. I get pleasure out of achieving what others can't do. I don't care about that. bad about it. We know. Am I a perfectionist?
I think we know. There are good things. I think there are some good things. Like, you know, caring about, like, even though I don't like my job, I still am like, I want to do good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I guess is good. I don't know.
That's a good thing. The tone of your voice was like, this is a negative thing about myself I'm saying. But the words you said were good.
Yeah. Man, we're going places.
We are
today.
Going places. Okay, now we're going to talk about the behaviors of perfectionism, but first, another break.
Oh, hey, earbuds. Hannah Hart here to talk to you about healthfulness, wealthfulness. Now, if I started saying wellness, well, whatever. Anyway, I'm here to talk to you guys about making healthy habits. So I know you're obviously eating your kale and checking out the ingredients on your almond milk and doing all the daily extra work to make sure that you're healthy and strong. But what if you're just not doing any of that? Well, let me tell you, there's a way to do it quick and easy and have it actually taste good. All in one pill. Yes, I'm talking about Ritual. Ritual vitamins are the only omega-3 vitamins that actually taste great. And it's all thanks to its natural mint essence. Ritual is also vegan, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free. It's made in the USA without synthetic fillers or colorants, and the delayed release capsule bypasses the stomach to help prevent nausea. So how does it work? Well, Ritual is subscription-based and only $30 a month, and it's delivered right to your door. And did you forget a few days? No problem. Go ahead and snooze your order until you catch up. So here's the facts, everybody. 95% of women don't get the vitamins and minerals they need on a daily basis. Ritual now has created a smarter vitamin with the 9 essential ingredients that women lack the most. So go ahead and head to ritual.com/earbuds and choose clean ingredients that are backed by science. Sign up now at ritual.com/earbuds. Hooray! Now back to the show. We're back again. Okay, we're back. Look, Hannah's got a lot of really beautiful scribbly notes. And I know you want to make sure you don't forget anything.
Yeah, okay.
So,
because I'm a perfectionist. But well, please continue what you were doing.
Well, what I'm doing is this. Guys, we are back from the break. And Hannah, I want you to just say just say everything you want to say about perfectionism and your notes and this and everything. Just put it all out there.
Wow. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Well, here's what I think. What if our society was different in such a way that we didn't become perfectionists? You know what I mean? Like, okay, this is what I wrote to myself. Where does the idea of being a loser come from? Right? What do you think a loser is? Like, my definition of loser, which I'm constantly afraid of being, is a person who's let me backtrack.
I have a definition.
Ooh.
Of a loser.
Okay. Let me start by saying, we can all agree, right? Every human being has one measurement of human worth, and everyone has it, and you can't take it away, ever. So why do we call ourselves losers or think some people are losers when it's like, if you're alive, then you're a human life and you have value and whatever. Maybe you just like to look at the sky all day. Like, why does that make you a loser?
Well, so we have to figure out how we define loser, right? Like, how do you define loser? Someone who looks at the sky all day?
No, that's badass. Okay, I guess
Here's my definition of loser.
I can tell you when I felt like a loser.
Okay.
But sorry, continue. You know, you go.
For me, it's someone who is apathetic, unproductive, someone that absorbs resources without contributing them. That's a loser.
Okay. But see, I would think, like, why do we have to be productive?
It's my definition. Mm-hmm. For me, it's important because I feel like I like community. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it feels good that it's a form of care. I guess you're right. It comes down to love, right? It's like, you're contributing to the household because you cared about the shared well-being of your home, you know? So that's like, when I think quote unquote loser, I think about somebody that is benefiting from the work of others without contributing to it, you know? Oh, indefinitely.
Yeah, yeah. Not I've dated guys like that.
Yeah, but like, you know, but like indefinitely, like never wanting to participate in the unselfish good, right? Just being like, okay, I'll grab all the groceries or whatever. Like that to me, that's the only thing that would define a loser.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my personal thing because that's what makes me feel safe is to think that someone else is also thinking about my well-being just as I am also thinking about theirs, right?
Wow, you're such an altruist, man.
I'm not. I just am scared.
You know? But the end result is the same, right?
Yeah, it's all worked out. I'll take it, Mamma Mia. Okay.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah.
See, I think mine just comes from pressure. Like, I feel like, especially nowadays, it's like, maybe it's just living in Southern California, but it's like, just to like have a job and support yourself, that's not enough. You have to be like, oh, also have a lot of really interesting hobbies you could maybe have an Instagram about and like a blog about and be like really great at like cooking for some reason and like be outdoorsy and fit and have like a secret other. I just feel like you have to be doing so much.
I wish there was a way. I luckily don't suffer from this, but I do know a lot of people have. Like, when you see someone do something, like, I've heard from friends, it sounds like what you're describing, that is the feeling, like, almost in them doing it, it's asking you to do it too, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. Like, if I see somebody, like, being like, la, 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 I'm just like, wow. You know, like, whatever. Like, I don't care. But I'm also not on Facebook.
I'm also not on, I don't really go on social media so much. So maybe, I mean, I do, but only to say things.
Not to look at anybody else. Yeah. That's smart, dude.
Well, I'm just not, I don't know. I just, it just is distracting. And also, right. What do we always say?
Comparison is death. I know. Or like, okay, but yeah, no, you're right, dude.
How do we undo that? Because I know a lot of people suffer from that.
Yeah, because like, I feel like, I don't know, like last night, after talking to my really sweet friend, who is a man, and we were both talking about like, God, why are we so lonely and sad and like, can't meet anybody? And I was like, I feel like I don't even, what I want to do is make things and travel. Every time I think about what do I want to do in this life, that's what it comes down to. I want to make things and travel. And then I feel like I can live my whole life making things and traveling. And then at the end, someone will be like, well, you didn't have babies. So your life's kind of sad. You're kind of a loser. Like, I feel like there are people who would be like, you didn't have babies, so you're a loser. Oh. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's your fear.
Yeah.
But that's your fear. That's fear. That's that fear talking, right? And yeah. Also, who would say that to an old lady?
I don't know.
An old, well-traveled lady.
I guess maybe it's a fear because I'm afraid it's true. Like, is it true? I don't know.
Oh, man. You got to give yourself the chance to find out if it's true for you. You can make things, you know, it's also like one decision isn't the entirety of your life. You could be making things and traveling.
Right.
And then you could decide to adopt in your 40s or you could have a baby. That's a big risk,
though. I know. It really is. People do it, though.
I know. People do. Brave choices.
You know what I realized? Sidebar, kind of. When I was with
Jack/Alex,
we've named on previous episodes, I was so stuck in that relationship and didn't change, I feel, like at all. Like things were happening, but I was so stuck. I've realized in my head now, I'm like, well, I have to do everything I want to do in this life before I'm ever in a relationship again. Because once you're in a relationship, you don't grow anymore.
I know it's dumb.
I wasn't saying it's dumb.
That's really dumb. Of course you still change.
But it's not dumb.
But that's my fear.
Yeah. That's hard. That's a hard fear to overcome. And, you know, because it's a lot easy. It's
Those
easy
like
to be
very
subsumed.
Formative years.
Dude, yeah, it's easy to be subsumed in relationships. So yeah. I think this is what the module's trying to say. Unattainable goals, unrelenting, not achievable goals versus achievable ones. So what if we took that and titrated it into, before I get in another relationship, I need a better grip on my codependence, or I need to feel like I have a game plan for my codependence in action. Right. And to be fair, you have dated somebody and then you were like, well, here are my needs and I'm out, you know? So like you did a good job there.
That's true. But what if I just never get over it?
I mean, I think by default you are. Like, you know, like you didn't stay in that other relationship.
Yeah.
Well, but there's a lot, dude. That's a real fear though. It's
here's
like.
Here's my fear. No one's good enough for me.
Okay, now we're. Okay, speaking of not being good enough for Anna Gelb, please, will you read more of your little note paper?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Okay.
Here's what happens after every podcast. I'm giving you guys a little Hannah Gelb insight. Ready?
Oh, God.
Here's us in the car driving back. Here's Hannah. Oddly quiet. Here's me. How you doing, dude? Here's Hannah. I'm fine. I just feel like I didn't say everything I wanted to say about blah. I don't know. And I'm like, wow, that's okay.
That's a totally good impression of me.
It happens every time you put your hand on your chin. You get all quiet and starey out the window. And then I'm like, what's up? And you're like, I just don't feel like I said enough. And like, here's the thing. That's why this podcast, nobody can take this away from us. We're going to talk.
Right.
We're going to talk.
Wow. Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
You read me so well. It's amazing.
I love it.
Oh my God. Okay. Here's what I wrote. So I've been thinking a lot about improv and I've been struggling because, so, you know, I have my job and podcast, I'm writing 100 pages a day and I feel like I don't really
local
have
queen, Hannah Gelb reads 100 pages a day.
I feel like I don't really have the time for improv and not that I don't, like, I still enjoy it, but I feel like my teammates are really invested in it and they're really putting a lot of time. It's kind of like they're, like, it's sort of like a big part of their lives. And I feel like it's not. And I think that's okay. But then I realized my brain is like, you just did all that work and for nothing. Because like, that's brain, perfectionism. That's, because it's like, why would that be? Why would that be nothing?
How is that for nothing?
Because my brain thinks only the product matters. It's like, even though I went through a whole year of being in class, that was doing something, wasn't it?
That's was a huge,
whole amazing process.
And yeah. I'm like, well, if you don't become a professional improviser,
but
improviser.
That's like not wanting to bake. Well, dude, I do the same thing where I'm like, I don't want to learn how to cook this one thing because what am I going to be, a chef? You know? What if I learn how to bake cookies? Then I'll have to bake forever. Right. Wow. And then I'm like, well, I can't like that.
I don't know. And then I'm like, I can't try do things because now if I'm, because I'm like, well, once you pick up a hobby, you can't put it down.
Yeah, so like martial arts. I do it for once and then I'm like, uh-oh, I'm not going to become a black belt realistically. So what's the point of even starting?
Dude, you... Remember when you did that in Japan?
I did that like 6 times throughout the course of my life. I've gotten Pilates memberships and I'm like, what am I going to be, a Pilates instructor?
Why are we like this?
I don't know, but like the good news is that the second part of this module is understanding perfectionism.
Okay.
What is it? How did we, well, we did what is it. Now we're going to do, how did I become, what is my perfectionism? Mm-hmm. So part two in the module is understanding perfectionism. And guys, we're not saying that this module is great. So don't do all 14 parts and then come after us on Twitter and be like, now I'm ruined. This is bad and unhealthy.
Right,
we're just looking at it for the first time too.
Yes. Okay? You're right. I'm not prepared. And I'm sure it works differently for everybody.
Yeah. And we might encounter stuff that we disagree with. That's A-okay. Mm-hmm. You know? So like just letting everybody know. Disclaimer, who knows? Okay, I just feel responsible, you know, because we are not at all experts.
No.
Well, I'm really excited to do part two next time when we discuss perfectionism and talk about how we became the way that we are.
What if we actually could figure it out?
Oh my God, you know, honestly, sometimes the first part of solving a problem is identifying the source.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what we're going to do.
Oh, I'm so excited because we have like literally next time we're like, oh God, what are we going to fucking record? And we can be like, we got like 19 episodes left on perfectionism.
That's right, baby. Oh, I can't wait. Guys, I hope this was helpful. Taking a look at your perfectionism as we take a look at our perfectionism in ourselves. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you hear it on whatever thing you like.
And remember to hug your loved ones.
Yeah, hug each other every day. Hug yourself. Oh, I love physical contact, you know? You know what's a good length for a hug with a loved one? 15 seconds. It's a long time.
Oh, no wonder people are always pulling away from me. JK!
I'm gonna hug you right after this.
Oh, yay! Oh,
big hugs to you guys. We love you so much, our beautiful, precious, wonderful earbuds. And yeah, we're gonna build a website and start selling those shirts probably soon to continue to support this amazing podcast.
As soon as we can figure out why we're perfectionists.
Yeah, let me just get through that first and then also hide my PS4. Okay, bye.
Bye.